advocate of sinners, protectors from dangers, and powerful intercessor with her son. That is the Catholic's view, which we find no base in the Bible for such claims. And because this was developed through the centuries, through the church tradition rather than the base on the scripture itself. But we should not undervalue the role of Mary as a model of obey and submission through the song that we study today. And Mary is a very unique character because there's no precedent and never happened afterward. No virgin birth ever happened. No one else ever bore the weight of carrying the Son of God in her womb. And why God picked Mary to bear the Son of God to come to this world, we never know. It will be a mystery. And the only hint that we know is the Bible said Mary is the genealogy of how the house of David. And other than that, anywhere in the land of Judea at the time of Jesus, Mary is just a very, very ordinary person. But in verse 38 of Luke chapter 1, Mary said that, "I am the servant of the Lord." And she positioned herself as the servant of the Lord. Because of her uniqueness, I think there's some important lesson that we can learn from Mary, especially from her state of mind, from her thoughts, okay? So I want you to put it this way. You need to contextualize, to put yourself into Mary's position to appreciate and learn from the song of praise, from the song of Mary. Number one, the first thought that I want to share with you is she trusts and has faith under uncertainty. In verse 34 of chapter 1 and verse 35, it says this, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angels answer, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Can you imagine the shock when she heard that? Contextualize. Put yourself into her position. Can you imagine what she was feeling? There's a Sunday school teacher asked her class for their opinion of the Virgin Mary as the angel Gabriel to tell her that she will conceive the Son of God in her womb. And the teacher asked the classes, "What do you think about Mary's feeling?" And one of the girls said, "Oh, she must be very excited. She must be very happy. She must be very excited to know that Jesus will be born through her. And also the Bible said that she felt that she was blessed. And what do you think about her feeling? Is it not what you think about Mary's feeling too? But for me, I think it's not, I don't think she thinks that way. Not at least in the very beginning when Gabriel tell her the news that she will bear the child. Because up to the time of Jesus, the Jews has never expect the Messiah will come this way. They expect Messiah will come as a king to liberate them from their bondage of the Rome. And another word, Messiah, should appear as a strong, glorious king. So Mary is the first person in history ever realized that the coming of the Messiah is totally from an unexpected way, born as a baby. And Mary, she didn't know that later on the Son of God would be born in the manger, in a very low way. So when Mary realized that she will have to give birth to the King of the Lord, before she get married, and there is so much uncertainty pop up from her mind, from her head. So when she said, how would this be? Not only she think that, how can a virgin to give birth without a husband? Virgin birth is never heard of and never happened before. Never in history. And Mary, she chose to trust the word of God in this. And I say that she has faith under uncertainty. Brother and sister, we all facing some kind of uncertainty in our life. Either in your work, either in your family, in your relationship with others, or situation of your health, so on, many things. There are always uncertainties ahead of us. And do you trust the word of God for your life? Under that uncertainty, do you open your heart to the word of God every day to find out his will in your life? Because the word of God is the source of guidance and comfort under uncertainty. And we also want to consider the second state of mind of Mary. The second state of mind of Mary that we can learn from is she obeyed regardless of consequences. She obeyed regardless of consequences. In the time of the Bible, if a young woman become pregnant before getting married, maybe this day is not so big a deal. It's still a big deal, but it's not so big a deal like the time of Mary. If a young woman became pregnant before she got married, she was not only dishonored and defamed the family, because it was considered an act of adultery. Not only may she be entitled to public shame, or even possibly killed by stone. And do you remember that when Jesus, at the time, there is a woman that was caught in adultery and was brought to Jesus for judgment according to the Jewish law? You probably remember that story. Even though the punishment of stone at that time was rarely carried out at those times, but it was still there. The law was still there. So Mary certainly knew what could happen and what could possibly happen to her. For Mary, this is very uncertain. It could have put her in great danger of being prosecuted. So in the human nature reaction, she could have protest. She could have cried. She could have kicked. She could have screamed of what is going to happen to her. This is not fair. My life will be ruined because of this. But your son will be called the Son of Most High. So what? What about my life? What could happen to me? Why me? Let's get someone else pregnant without marrying and give me my life back. We all face something that happened to us that we don't understand. But if it is out of the word of God, obey is the must. So what Mary said in chapter 1, verse 38, she said, I am the Lord's servant, and may your word to me be fulfilled. And do you know, her answer carried a great weight of submission. Instead of focusing on the consequence of bearing a child before marriage, it was absolutely a crazy thing to happen in any young woman's life in those days. Instead, Mary focused on the fulfillment of God's word, regardless of any consequences that she anticipated to face. Here we consider the goal and the objective of our life. Because Mary immediately have a conclusion. What is the purpose of my life here? Do I protest or I follow? And this is what we need to think too. What is the goal and the objective of your life? Because in this age, we have so many people that feel so lost because of not knowing why we live and living, and they live without a purpose. So the key in here is to acknowledge in our position as God's servant, regardless of the position of the difficulty. And thirdly, I want you to consider of Mary's state of mind and learn from it, is she rejoiced over adversity. She rejoiced over adversity. In verse 46 and verse 47, she said, "My soul glorify the Lord, and my spirit rejoice in God, my Savior." How could she be rejoiced? How? Let's consider this. When Mary ready to get travel to visit Elizabeth, this is a 70 mile of traveling. 70 mile probably not a long distance for us to drive, but for someone to walk, it's quite a distance. So Mary has time to really contemplate about what the angel told her and what could happen to her life to bear the child as the Son of God. And her journey must be a journey of very unsettling of thoughts, of her thoughts. But at the end, she praised God and expressed her rejoice in God as her Savior. And do you know that in the Bible, it tells us very little about Mary's life in the gospel. Very little. Beside the account of Jesus' birth, the only time that mention about Mary and what she has ever said is in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, when Jesus turned water into wine and Mary tell the servant to do whatever he tell you, to do whatever Jesus to tell you. And that's all she said. No more. There's no more record of what Mary has said after that. But think about this. The lack of record does not stop us from reasonably imagine her state of mind. And I tell people that when you study the Bible, you have to put some imagination to it, but reasonably. You have to imagine, you put yourself into the picture to appreciate, to under the text. Because of the Bible writing, the style of the Bible writing, and also the cultural factor at that time, in this ancient text, especially in the New Testament, they never describe the emotion of the woman. So we do need to study it very carefully and to contextualize and to reasonably imagine it. And we can reasonably guess that the rumor of Mary with an illegitimate child probably never diminished most of Mary's life. She bore a child without Mary. Only she and Joseph know that the child is from the Holy Spirit. And Just imagine, this is not a very convincing reason to tell people why she was pregnant. No. If she tell people, hey, my child is from the Holy Spirit, no one's going to believe her. Right? No one's going to believe her. So Mary most likely suffered from that bad name. Even though the gospel never mentioned anything about this. But we can reasonably imagine to conclude that Mary must have suffered a lot because of it. And more than that, think about Mary's life. She had to witness her own son, the promised Son of God, suffer through the cross. It must be a terrible and unbearable experience. And in the Luke, the Gospel of Luke, you remember that even one of the character already tell her that is the priest in Jerusalem, Simeon. Simeon tell her that a sword will pierce through your own soul. He told Mary that in Luke chapter 2, verse 35. And I want to say this. Mary is the most miserable bystander to watch Jesus Christ suffer, flogged, humiliated, and nailed on the cross and die. Mary was the only one on earth who followed Jesus all through his life. Her own son, the Son of God. And she followed him from his birth to his death, from the manger to the cross and to the empty tomb. She said, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Because she trusts the word of God to reveal that generation will call her blessed. She chose to rejoice over the possible adversity against her. And praise God for that. So in her song, there are three trusts that I want to point it out to you. She trusts God will uplift her from her lowliness, from verse 46 to 50. And she trusts God to turn things around, 51 to 53. And she trusts God of the unseen promises, 54 to 55. How could she rejoice to bear such a bad name throughout her life? And you may have a question right away. You said, how do you know that she rejoiced throughout her life? The Bible didn't say that. The Bible didn't mention anything about her life after the incident in Cana. And back in those times, the role of the women do not have the social position like that we do today. Women cannot even be a legal witness. But the omission of record does not mean that there is no emotion on her part. She have her emotion too. And think about that. She is the only person on earth follow Jesus since his birth until the cross and to the tomb and to the resurrected Christ. And think about all of the other followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus' brother did not follow him until he resurrected. John the Baptist know who Jesus Christ is, but John the Baptist died very early. He died soon. And Jesus' disciples do not know him until the beginning of his ministry. And Mary is the only one from the manger to the cross and to the empty tomb. And you can imagine her joy to follow all this through, or to follow all this ordeal. And when she see the empty tomb and know that God really resurrected, just imagine about her joy. Just imagine about her joy. It's a great rejoice for her, especially for her. So, brother and sister, rejoice in adversity require a solid promises. God has a very solid promise from Mary right from the beginning. And we also have to grab that promise because we have the Word of God in our hand. So, brother and sister, to conclude, magnifying God is easier to say than to do. The life of Mary inspired us with one thought. It's all about the purpose and the goal of our life. What would you do to accomplish the mission of God if He commissioned you to do certain things? And if you look at Mary's life, her life seemed to have only one purpose, to follow Jesus. She is the number one fan of Jesus Christ. She has great faith right from the beginning. And as we follow Jesus, we may feel struggle to run through and even feel the pain like Mary that the sword pierced through your heart and your soul. But we have to trust that God, He is God, and He is good, and He will do all things right according to His will. And there are times when God is going to challenge you and me to do things that are going to be very difficult. Sometimes it's going to be painful. Sometimes we are going to suffer. And the consequence to be more than that, more than we can handle. And our first response may be, I don't understand, what is your will? Are you really say that? Do I really have to follow through this? So our first response will be, no, there's no way I can do that. And because we are being challenged, but we kind of reluctant and in our response. It's sometimes normal because we actually, not that we don't know why God wants us to do this, but we really think that, can I even get this done? God has called us to do, and we have to face that, and we have to carry it through. But we important that we have to, whatever ahead of us, our goal is always seek to obey Him. Even if we were struggling and we will have fear, because we fear the loss, we fear the consequences, but we still trust and obey. That's our goal. That's how Mary did in her life. We can learn from the way that she learned, she coped with the situation. One thing that I want to share with you is very important. Is we need someone to share a burden with us in a time of challenge and trial. Look at Mary when she heard the news that she would be pregnant with a child before she get married. What does she do right away? She start the trip to go to visit Elizabeth, her kinswoman. When Elizabeth called out and said, the mother of our Lord come to me. And you know that when she hear that, it was a very uplifting and encouraging for Mary. It helped her greatly to face all the challenge which come her way. So she can praise God of what is going to happen to her. And that the fact is, we need a Christian fellowship to go through all the trial under the range of Satan. We need the church. You need the fellowship people with you. We need the church together. We need the fellowship together. You cannot face the challenge of your life just through the screen online only. Well, sometimes in the situation we have to, but we still need the fellowship. No one should battle alone in our journey to heaven. We need fellowship. So that's why Mary, finally, she praised God for her trust. She praised his promise in the future because he trusts the promise is in the future, not in the present. So she can be rejoiced. Even she haven't seen anything in the future yet, but she trusts God. And the life of Mary is a prototype. It's a model of a true Christ follower. Most of us are quietly following Jesus. We are going through trial and pain, and a lot of time people don't know about what happened to us. But with Mary, we started from Mary, we have one hope, is God will make all things good through his will, not our will. In his way, not our way. And be noticed that Mary's suffering was a direct result of her submission. Not because of her wrongdoing. And brother and sister, are you suffering because of your submission to God's will? Then be encouraged that it does not matter what situation you are in now. Trust that God will exalt the lowly. Trust God will do amazing thing that out of adversity. If God can make a virgin to bear a child, God can do anything. He will lift you out of your hardship. He will be with you of the time that you are in there. He will do that for the humble, for those who trust and obey him. And our hope and our reward is in the eternity. This life is very short, but eternity is forever. Trust God and obey him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for saving our soul through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can place our hope not on this earth, but on your eternal kingdom. And Lord, help us to long for the kingdom that we can wade through this life on earth with a clear purpose of glorifying you. We pray for your glory, and we pray in your name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.